welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my favorite people. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. We have a very special interview today. It is sort of a little light, a little more laughy than my interviews usually are because I know Marion really well. She was a client of mine when I used to be in private practice for several years, and she is the second ever podcast of this podcast. She's my second podcast, and she's my first ever interview on this podcast all those years ago when I began. And her life has even evolved way more since then. She's had a baby who is now five. She does every sport that she wants to. She is a cyclist when it's warm enough. She lives in Chicago. She's also a runner. She is a really involved, really physical mom, and she's just really free. She's like living a life of freedom. And I wanted her to come back on and update us sort of as where are they now kind of situation, and also just talk about best practices because she's really living this work to great effect. I look at Marion as exactly on par with me. You know, we're living a human life. There's no cure for the human condition, but Marion is, you know, when something comes up, she knows exactly how to handle it. She gets a sensation. She gets a little blue. You know, we didn't want to call it depression, so we called it melancholy, but I understand that feeling as well. And she knows what to do. And I just think her sage advice and the way she explains her journey is really, really beneficial. So I wanted to have her on. We had a really good time together. And I know you're going to enjoy it. So that's today. And we're really going to get right to it. I'll just give you the couple reminders that I know I have to remind you about, which is first, the Omega Institute, my only in-person retreat, will be June 25th through the 30th this year. The retreat likely will not sell out, but the accommodations will. And so please get on that. If you want to come, go to my website, The Cure for Chronic Pain, and click on the retreats tab or the resources tab, or go right to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, S-A-C-H-S. That's the first announcement. And the second is if you would like to join my private membership community, we have our second cohort almost full. And you just have to email me at njsachs@gmail.com. And I will send you all the information about it. It's a monthly fee. It's a private community. And we have an online chat that we go to every day. And then we have a 3-hour Zoom call every month where I answer all your personal questions. And I'm on the online community every day as well, answering questions and giving feedback. So if you're interested in that, make sure to email me today because we're almost ready to close that second cohort up. And I think for now, I'm probably just going to have two groups running at the same time. So if you're interested, now is the time to act. Okay, without further ado, I give you my interview with the lovely Marion. Hello, everybody. Today I'm here with Marion. Welcome, Marion.
Hi, nice to be here. So glad to see you and hear you.
Now, Marion is the second ever podcast, I believe. I really think you might be the second ever podcast. You're my first ever interview on this podcast. Yeah. And so anybody who is a fan of the podcast or ever went back and listened to the beginning, you have heard Marion's voice. Also, very obscure reference, if you watched the Home and Family show on the Hallmark Network about 7 years ago when I was featured there, Marion was my on-air guest. Right?
It was. So do you remember how gigantic my face was on that television screen? I was like, oh, I'm going to tell all my like personal emotional traumas on a big screen. I love you, Nicole.
When they piped her in, it was long before COVID and long before people were piped in generally. I mean, now we're so used to it. It's like nothing. We're actually shocked when somebody shows up in person. But back then, I think it was like 2016.
That's feeling right.
When Marion was in Chicago and I was in LA for the show, and I was like, well, listen, this is a client who would love to come on, but you'd have to just like bring her on video call. They're like, oh, sure, we'll do that. And they put her on like a 50-inch television screen.
It really felt like it was bigger. It was really feeling like 80 inches. I saw an 80-inch TV at Costco and it haunted me. I was like, I think my face was on one that thing.
Oh my God, it was too funny. Okay. Anyway, as you guys can probably glean, Marion and I know each other quite well. She was my private client for many, many, many years. Many meaning like eight, something like that. And we know each other well. And the reason I'm having her back on the pod is because she was already a success story several years ago when I started this podcast. But her life, to me, personifies a life of freedom lived. And I think what I want for you guys is to understand what a life of freedom lived looks like, because I also live that life. And it doesn't mean that your life is perfect. And it doesn't mean that your life is without the physical sensation that we call pain or symptoms or discomfort. And it also means that life is full of a lot of emotional excavation and curiosity. So, I just wanted to bring her back, and, I don't even know exactly what we're going to talk about, but I'm excited because we haven't caught up in a while.
Me too. And I feel like this is like an episode of like, TMS success stories. Where are they now? You know,
yes.
like, what's happened? Can you still stand by the feelings you had 7 years ago? And the good news is, yeah, I think so for sure, you know?
All right. Well, then why don't we start there? Just why don't you give people just a little nutshell of how you walked into this work all those years ago, and then however you want to kind of bring the story through, because I know your life has changed tremendously over these years.
Totally. The entry into this world was, you know, first things first, like, you know, I always thought of myself as like a really happy person, happy-go-lucky, super optimistic. Through my learning journey, I think I was really just a people pleaser and was really like trying to create that world where everything was okay. And I was going to do it by hook or by crook. And I was going to bend and shape and shift and fold myself into ways in which I created joy and pleased. And so by the time I met Nicole, must have been like 2014 or something like that. I was already like on my way, but I definitely was still suffering quite a bit. It all started in about 2012. I was running the marathon. And as soon as I crossed the finish line, I basically had this excruciating pain in my left leg. I hung out with that pain for about 10 days. I then went and got a scan and found out that I had stress fractures. Someone said, oh, you might have osteopenia because, you know, you're really small in size. And it was like the first time in my life where someone had said like, oh, you might have a physical condition. And it was like, okay, that's when the party started. It became, Marion is fragile. I have some sort of condition with my bones. And then, oh, look, now my neck is killing me. Okay, my neck is killing me. It's doing it every single day. Now my back hurts. Now I feel carpal tunnel. I actually just started to grow my symptoms over the course of like 2012 to 2014, 15. It was like head, shoulders, knees, and toes, like everything. And I was going to doctors. I went to a doctor that was like, you may need to have carpal tunnel surgery. I went to another doctor about my neck and my hand, which was going numb. And they were like, you might have thoracic outlet syndrome. I saw PT people over and over again. I went to a Rolfer. I went to a trigger point therapist. I had every tool you can imagine, the cane, the ball, the vibrating thing. All of it was being used at like all day long, every day. And I kind of became fixated and consumed by my pain. And when someone mentioned the word fibromyalgia to me, I was like, that's it.
Right.
We're done here. You know, like
them's
fighting words. Like I'm on my knees and, you know, I'm a graphic designer, art director. I use my hands a lot to design and create. And, that all of that was starting to become harder and harder to do. And as I'm sure everyone who's listening knows, like when your vocation or the thing you love the most starts to become threatened by the pain, that's just when you start to get really depressed too, right? Like deep depression and scared and anxious because you think your whole terror because your whole life's going to fall apart. so anyway, you know, at one point, you know, my fiance, he had kind of had it, you know, like I think he was reaching his limit with the amount of fixation I had on my pain, which was real. It was real. And it still is today when I get it. He kind of was like, do you think this could be in your head? And it was them's fighting words. You know, I immediately iced him out for a couple of days. I went online.
And of course, we all know that that is a very triggering statement, and that is not what we're saying here. And it is just, it's the most common misconception of mind-body medicine, that someone could label it with that those semantics. And it's really, really not the case. And most people listening know that. But I'll just say right here, as just to kind of co-sign what Marion is saying, it is 100% not in your head. In fact, sensations are all caused by the brain, because mm-hmm. without the nervous system and the brain that act in unison in order to create inflammation and muscle constriction and any sensation you think, feel, and touch and experience, that's all that anyone is saying, is that there's more than one way to reach the same conclusion. And you can cut your skin and your nerves can fire, and you can have this TMS reaction going on and your nerves can fire, but the feeling of your nerves firing is the same. So when Sig was saying that, he wasn't saying you're making it up. He was saying, I'm curious what could be going on here. But or was he? Or was he actually saying it was in your head? What do you think at the time?
I think it was half and half. I know he knew that the pain was real because he was experiencing it himself, which we can cut to later. You know, he was 50-50 on it. But, you know, I took that the way anybody would, which is you think I'm crazy, you know, and I was defensive and, you know, didn't speak to him for a couple days. And then I went on Google and I said into the little search bar, could I be causing my own pain? Could my brain be causing my own pain? Things like that. And, you know, of course, the Dr. John Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain, came up, the Amazon link. I read the book. I felt 2 weeks of much less pain. Like, it was pretty intense, the shift. So I had been thinking about my pain and consumed by it and in many ways disabled by it. And I had 2 weeks of such a lessening that I was almost euphoric. Right. You know what I mean? And that prompted me to want to continue my journey. When the pain flares started coming back, I found a doctor here in Chicago named Dr. John Strax. And I went to his 6-week mind body. It was sort of a group class that met once a week. And we also learned mind-body journaling. And I think we went through Dr. Schubner's book in that class. And I started to feel better and I felt a sense of community. You know, I was starting to be validated. This is real. This happens. It's okay. It can be healed. I mean, I was so happy. I was so on board. And then he said, you know, at the end of class, he was like, hey, I think you could use a little additional help, Marion, to get you over the hump. I know a therapist named Nicole Sachs. You should check her out. She's over in, I'm going to say your town wrong.
That's okay. So, Rehoboth.
Delaware. She's in Delaware. Yeah. You know, maybe connect with her. And so that brought me to Nicole. And I feel like I'm not, you know, I'm spending very little time telling you what got me here. But I think that that's okay because, you know, there's plenty of episodes on Nicole's podcast where people get into that granular detail.
Well, yeah. And I don't feel the need for you to have like, you know, what they call a drunkalogue. You know, you don't have to go nuts in terms of like every time you ached. But I guess I want people to know, for the purposes of this interview, Marion was in bad shape.
Like, I might be skimming on that.
Stories, well, it's just all I want people to understand is when people hear success stories, like I want them to understand she was just like you. Whomever you are, she was suffering. She was panicked. She was paralyzed with fear. You know, she was, doing every goddamn treatment under the sun.
And I like a few illustrative examples might be helpful. So it got to the point where I was trying to sleep in certain positions just so I could avoid the pain. It got to the point where I stopped exercising. I went from being the lady who could run a marathon to being almost not exercising at all. I went from someone who in my, you know, early 30s could do front handsprings and back handsprings and like stand on my head and use my body to its utmost to not even being able to do any of those things, let alone think about it. You know, I really started to feel like I had like the body of a 90-year-old, even though I was like 35, 36, 37. And I was so depressed about it. One of the things I didn't know about myself is that I've always had, I didn't really recognize I had underlying anxiety too. So I'm kind of prone to going into a dark headspace, I think, kind of quickly. And so I, of course, went there. And that was also something else that I was suffering with, which was panic attacks and anxiety. So it was a really tough situation. I was running my own business too, and I had a lot of life stressors. And one of the things I really wanted was to have a family. You know, I was engaged and going to be married, and I just stopped thinking that I had a future because I was in so much pain today.
That's a huge one.
I couldn't imagine like an abundant future. And wow, you know, I mean, that's where I was at age 36 and 37, which, as we all know, looking back now that I'm 45, I'm like, that's just a kid. You're just a kid. Right. But I felt so old, you know, because I was in so much pain and because I was, my life and world had gotten so small. You start isolating more. You don't hang out with your friends. You don't have good things to say. And so you don't hang out. And so through the course of the many years that I treasure, that I got to talk with Nicole and to be, to explore, you know, the ways in which to deal with TMS flare-ups when they come up, the ways in which to connect to deeper sides of myself that need to like have a voice. I can tell you, like, life is completely different now on every level, but the excavation journey is not, it was not linear. It wasn't clean cut. It wasn't like, oh, boopity boop, one day, you know, that last little niggle of pain went away and that was it. See you later. Life is still hard and the pain comes back. The anxiety comes back, the depressed feeling. I don't think I'm a clinically depressed type person, but I have like feelings of being depressed sometimes.
Melancholy, I like to call it.
I like it. It was so melancholy. But yeah, I still have those things. It just doesn't take me mind, body, and soul down into a dark cave anymore where it's really hard to climb out, you know, because I've learned so much. I know what to do. And I still feel safe and that I do have an abundant future ahead of me. So that in and of itself is like, to me, it's like a miracle that I get to live that life now, because I know that there's a lot of people I know, friends and family, who don't have TMS pain per se, or don't talk about it, but they also don't feel like that deep level of like gratitude for being alive and deep level of safety I feel that I now own inside of me because of this work. Does that make sense, Nicole?
No, that makes total sense. And I have so many things I want to kind of add into there. So before I ask you some questions that will get to, you know, what it is to have pain and what it is to be in a life of being free from chronic issues, just, you know, in terms of the delicious snapshot, just tell the people what you can do in your life, what you do, what has happened with this new person, you know, which is her child. So anyway, I guess I want people to see the life of total freedom you live. And then I want to talk about the harder stuff and the trauma and the uglier stuff. So
let's go there.
They heard the beginning, give them a snapshot of today, and then we'll kind of get into the middle of it.
Yeah. There's always stuff lurking underneath, right? So today, a snapshot of today, you know, I can run many miles now. I basically can tell my body what I want it to do and then I go do it with it. You know, it's not a problem. I've let go of the limiting beliefs about what my body can do. I have a daughter. She is now almost 5 years old, Willa. And I enjoy a lot of playfulness with her. You know, I'm that mom that's like all over the play, you know, the playscape or the jungle gym, the monkey bars, what have you. And I'm really able to be with her, be present, have fun with her, and be physical. This is a little sidebar, but it's brought me also closer to my husband, because he believes in wholeheartedly the mind body healing methods that got me to where I am. He employs them himself. It's been a really great connection point for our relationship, because I'm one of those seeker types, come to find out. Okay. And like he, what I have sought has brought a lot of healing to our own home, you know, just it's spread, you know what I mean? In a really beautiful way. You know, the things that have changed for the better that aren't attached to just pain are also important to talk about. So, I don't have things that limit me physically anymore, but I also don't have things like IBS anymore. I don't have the eczema I had anymore. I don't have, I used to have dry, itchy scalp. I used to have the worst sinuses. Every year I'd have like 3 sinus infections and have to take antibiotics. And then I've got the neti pot. And, you know, I was always sick with something, acid reflux, you know, just you name it. At one point I almost started threatening to have migraines. Like my body was telling me there was so much emotion inside me that needed an outlet. Yes. And it was doing it in every language and in every way. When we began talking, Nicole, I think I highlighted the stuff that was just every day so painful that it was like I was distracted by it. All the things I just spoke of, the sort of skin disorders and the gastro stuff, I had been living with that since I was like a kid. You know what I mean? So those things started to clear up too. And at some point I got scared, like, oh my God, is this, what if all these things come back? You know what I mean? You actually get a sense of dread, like these have gone away and the work is working and the journaling is working, or journal speak is working. These things, these tools are working. My God, I hope this never comes back, you know? And the good news is it comes back a little bit because life is really hard and there's complicated stuff. And like, you still have emotions. I still have emotions and I'm still excavating, but it's never to the point that it was before.
Yeah. And I think what's important to recognize about that is this is a human life. There's no cure for the human condition. And since sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, there will be time. First of all, I'm the guru of this shit and I get all the things gently. I will get a headache. I get them gently. I'll get a headache and sometimes I'll get a bad headache. And if I get a bad headache, what I usually know is, Nicole, it's enough. Whatever the enough needs to label, I can do that for the day. You know, it's enough running. It's enough people pleasing with your kids. It's enough worrying where your son's going to go to college. You know, if I get something that really stops me, which is so rare, but let's say I do, I'm aware enough to be like, guess what? No more. No more obsessing about that. You're not allowed. Cut it out. Take it to the journal. Throw it away. Move on. And as soon as I take care of myself, it goes away. But the one thing... It's so true. And the one thing I'll say is I'm never scared of it. And I understand what you said with like, you were like, oh my God, when's the other shoe going to drop? You know, is this stuff going to come back? But I think what happens is as you live this experience out, you realize you're safe because you know how to speak to your nervous system. You know how to speak to your brain, right?
Yep. And that's an important thing that I want to touch on, you know, which is kind of I'm going in the way back machine, but I like never really felt safe growing up. Right. I just didn't. I didn't even know that I didn't feel safe because, you know, you're just a baby and you grow up and the environment you're in is the environment you're in. And like, it's only because I'm an adult that I can discern that, like,
of course,
that wasn't like super cool. And that was actually like, you know, I've basically been in fight or flight since I was a little kid and it's a natural state.
Let me pause this for 1 second. Just, I'm not going to reveal anything personal, but I just need you. When you say I wasn't safe, I want people to understand this isn't Marianne saying like, oh, in retrospect, maybe that stuff was like borderline safe or not safe. No, like Marianne's life was straight up not safe. Like her trauma is capital T.
I mean, I'm the person who like, you know, what's that scorecard you can do, your trauma score?
ACE study.
And what number does it go to?
Like I don't know. I think it goes to like 12 or something. She has
like
almost
a 7 or an 8 or something. No, it's like really, like we laugh about it, but I swear to you, my inner child is fucking crying, you know, and will probably be crying for the rest of my life. You know, alcoholism, mental health stuff, you know, sexual trauma, like you name it, it's happened. And what a bummer to like be a little kid growing up into a teen. And just, I experienced so much of that stuff that my survival mode and mechanism was just be a good girl, do a good job, bring light, and this bad stuff will go away, or it'll be mitigated, or, you know, like I felt like if I controlled it or tried to control it in my own little ways that I had about me, that it would make it all better. But there was a larger part of me that needed to rage against what had happened. And I didn't even know that. That's subconscious, right? So I think the tools of journal speak, like, it was dark in there. I mean, I would like take snapshots of like things that I would create when I did journal speak, and Nicole would see them. She'd be like, yep, yep. And you know, I mean, it is not for public consumption. And I certainly did not know who the hell that person was that was writing those things, scratching into the page, being super angry, because I had taught myself a long time ago not to feel those feelings.
Right.
They were untouchable.
It wasn't safe to feel those feelings.
No. I think, you know, at one point, and I've heard you say this, that people fear they're going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. I definitely went through that period. I was very afraid that if I let all my feelings out, that they would eat me.
Yes. And I want to say something about that, because I had the privilege of really sitting with you through this, and not everybody needs a therapist, and not everyone can afford a therapist. And, you know, I'm aware of that privilege. And I will say that if you are one of these people that's frightened, that if you feel all these things, it's going to swallow you whole, get someone to sit with you through this, because the feelings will not swallow you whole. And I know that I know this because I've been doing it for 150 years, but I also know this with Marion specifically, because I remember those days, those specific sessions when you were like, I can't do this. And I'm like, let's just try a little bit. And little by slowly, as we were with those spaces in her life, they didn't swallow her. And every time something doesn't swallow you, you realize a little bit more that you're going to be okay.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And you know, I had this, I don't know, is it suicidal ideation? I know it's a big term, right? It's a big one to drop. But I remember being so upset once that I wanted
to drive. In our work or when you were a kid?
No, this was like probably like at age 30, where I was going through a breakup, and I remember driving my car and I just wanted to put my foot on the pedal,
right,
and see what happened. Like, I would have these little mini bursts of rage that were like scared the shit out of me, and then I would like put a clamp on it. And I guess what I'm saying is like, I clearly knew that something was wrong, but I wasn't ready to share it with anyone, and I didn't know the proper outlet, and journal speak and this work gave it to me and created a methodology that felt like based in brain science and frankly medicine, because I was going to Northwestern for it with Dr. Strax. It had all the components for me to say yes and to believe, and that was super important. And so when I finally got to the place where I was doing the journaling and I got through that little sticky spot where I thought I was going to go crazy, I was beside myself with joy when I realized what this actually does. Because when you put pen to paper at first and you're like, I don't know what I feel, I'm numb. I mean, I still to this day feel numb sometimes when I show up to the page. And that's also just a facade. I'm not really numb. I have numbed myself because I'm not ready to say the thing I really want to say. So I know how to dig deeper, 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 you know. But in the writing, it's usually for me, it starts with anger.
Uh-huh.
Then it turns to sadness. Then it turns to surrender. And then it turns to peace every time. You know, maybe here and there, if I'm just like a little tired or not into it, like I might just have an incomplete type of journaling session, but I feel very lucky because I've been doing it so long that I kind of am not afraid to go to there anymore. There's nothing I can say on that page in the solace of my quiet moment, you know, with it that I feel ashamed of. And so I can actually like get there, you know, almost every time.
Yeah. And Marion, I think the reason you have that, I have what you have. Not everybody has these kind of complete journaling sessions where you really move through the stages and end up in that place of surrender, acceptance, compassion, whatever you want to call it. But I think the reason Marion gets there, and the reason I do, and the kind of best practices I want to put out there today, is it's because Marion shows up like a fucking motherfucker. And that
this is true. Like a fucking motherfucker.
You do. You go for it. You know, Cheryl Strayed, one of my favorite authors, she says, write like a motherfucker. And like, you do. And I would really just encourage people who are like tentative. Nobody is listening but you. And if you decide no one ever needs to see this but you, this can be trashed and this can be burned or ripped or deleted or whatever, show up like an MF. Because That's what, if you let it all out, then you can move through those stages.
That's right. And get a good shredder. That's what I have. My secret space has a shredder. It's like nobody needs to see what just happened here. And, you know, I went through a little bit of a shamey kind of vibe around it. Like, what's the remotest room in my house, in the darkest place with the lockiest door that I can possibly do this? And it's more a part of my life, integrated into my life in a way that it's, I mean, I'm obviously like not raging about my husband while he's sitting next to me or something, but like, I'm okay to like do it and feel like I've accepted this part of me. And that's a huge thing, is I have accepted that this is what my human life is, you know? And like when Nicole met me, like my past traumas, whether capital T or tiny T, I was not talking about them. Right. And when I mean I was not talking about them, I was not going to. And some of those words had never been uttered. So I have come a long way in 10 years.
You have.
Like
you have.
I mean, I could have gone to the grave like that, but I also think I would have something like rheumatoid arthritis or cancer or something bigger. Cause I feel like the volume keeps getting turned up until you listen. Right. And so
I want to say something about that, because as you were speaking before, you mentioned when you were 30, which is long before the pain started, several years before the pain started, that you had those bursts in the car where you just wanted to floor the gas and who cares if I live or die kind of feeling. And you said, but I didn't have an outlet for those kind of feelings. And then you skipped right over, which of course I appreciate, to the beauty of journal speak. But what I want to say is what came in between the sort of suicidal, you know, foot on the gas and the journal speak was the pain. Mm-hmm. The pain was the way you could express it. And that's what I want people to get. Oftentimes I write, pain is simply an invitation to the precipice of the truths that have been awaiting your acknowledgement, sometimes for your whole damn life. Mm-hmm. And so because she didn't know either how or that it was necessary to express it when she was 30. By the time she hit 35, her body said, we'll keep the score. No worries. You don't have to figure out how to express it. You can just be chronically ill for the rest of your life. And like, that's the invitation that all bodies will give us. The brain and the nervous system sends out the envelope. The body opens the invitation and says, here, you want it or not. And that's what people need to understand, is like, it's okay if you're suffering. It's just an invitation. And the most amazing thing that I seek to carry is that you actually get a choice. You know, when we're chronically ill, we don't think we have a choice. We think we're fucked. And that's that. And we have to like give our power over to doctors and surgeries and shots and medications and the vibrating thing. You know, mm-hmm. but it's actually not the only option. And so what came in between was the pain. And what Marion just said, which was got me to say this, is if she hadn't discovered mind-body medicine, it could have been RA or cancer. Because, yeah, I mean, and I don't mean to like threaten anyone like, oh, you're going to give yourself a horrible disease. I just agree that your immune system cannot stay in fight or flight compromised for that mm-hmm. long. It just can't.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Something will happen, you know, and talking about like cortisol and all these things that, you know, contribute to just sort of the demise of your system over time. Like I now... and in this mindset And I think there's two components to my current mindset. One is like, I'm always learning and growing. I am still a child inside. I feel like I may be something totally different in 5 years. Like I have a lot of trust that my future is big and bright and bouncy and cool and fun. And I'm also really tapped into my spiritual center, which is something I didn't have. You know, I grew up Catholic and went to Catholic school and all of that. And then, of course, recovered from that and moved forward in life. But I didn't have my new spiritual center, the one that I designed for myself. And through this process of excavation and of, you know, expression of true feeling and getting to know myself, that became really important to me. And it naturally started to happen. And now I can say that with this, you know, I think it's a gift. I think this is like a ninja gift of life to have the sort of understanding of TMS mind body healing, because I think it's going to give me a huge leg up to have a long and happy life now. It also has me feeling really connected to, you know, godlike stuff, you know, like I don't, you know, that. And
I'm always tripping over the G word on this podcast.
Because it's like hard. I mean, I call it God, but you know, yeah, I have a really strong spiritual center, and those things make me safe. I never felt safe when I was young, and I didn't feel safe as an adult, and I didn't feel confident, and I was just, there was a hole. Let's just say there was a hole. And this journey has helped to fill it up. And now I know that I am safe within my own skin or within my own mind or within my own life, and that there's nothing to fear. Even if, you know, circumstances change, life changes, oh, I get a little zing-zing in my hand and it gets weird for a day or two, I know, I like literally know it's going to be better. You know, yeah, and not many people can say that.
No, and that's the whole thing that I want people to understand about the nervous system is the nervous system only has your input, both conscious and unconscious, with which to know if you're safe or not. You know, like we're animals. We're the same as the zebras on the savanna. When the tiger walks onto the savanna, we have changes that happen in our body when we feel unsafe. And so it is just such an incredible, amazing gift to be able to identify that sensation and say, how can I bring myself back to safety? And that's why I love having a toolkit, because you have your journal speak, you have your meditation, you have your self-talk and your ability to say, you know, I know this goes away. I know that I am, you know, uncomfortable does not equal unsafe, which is a really, really important concept mm-hmm. for people to grasp, because this is uncomfortable. Actually, that's a great segue. Let's talk about how it's uncomfortable to have to decide to go there, because I know from experience by knowing you, you are quick to go to the page. You're not that resistant, but it's not always like super breezy to, you know, to move mm-hmm. over to say, okay, I'm feeling it in my body. All right, now I have to feel it in my heart. Like, tell me about that process for you.
I mean, honestly, sometimes it's cringy. You know, because like sometimes I just feel like, fuck, I would rather do anything.
Totally.
Anything than think about my feelings. I have multiple TV shows queued up on Netflix. I have distractions on distractions I need to get to. I'm really committed to being a human doing and not a human being. So, you know, like I just recently went through that. Like, so talk about, you know, like I'm over here saying, oh, wow, everything's great. And I have this spiritual center and I feel safe. I do. That's my baseline. And this last November, I started feeling really blue. And I stopped. I didn't want to address why I felt blue. So I started going into my, what do you call it? It's like my my old behaviors. Mm-hmm. I was going to be really hyper productive, and I was just going to like skim the surface of things. And I was going to get up to my old tricks and not journal and not pay attention too much. And, you know, it did what it did. You know, it just got to the point where I started numbing out my own feelings again. And I had to make a choice over the Christmas holiday to be with myself and to be like, yeah, okay, I have like 2 weeks where I'm probably going to need to get in there and do some work and some self-love. And as much as I do not want to do this, I'm going to. And it took like 3 sessions, and those sessions were tough. Like, I just stared at the page and it was like, where to begin? And I was like looking back at old things, notes I had taken from you. And I was looking at a Howard Schubner book and realizing, wow, that's how I felt 7 years ago when I filled this book out. Whoa. You know, and then I finally got in a groove, but I can tell you, like, you still fall into moments where you forget. You forget it's available to you.
Yes.
And then you're like, or I just straight up reject it.
This is so important for people to hear. So when you are out there and you're feeling resistant, just understand that resistance to this process is another form of TMS. It's another way that your brain informs your inner voice, which speaks to you in your own language, that says, hey, guess what? Let's not look over there. Let's just make a to-do list and check it off. Let's just binge the latest Netflix. Come on, come on, come on. Shh, don't do it. Just look over there. And like, it's okay. I do that all the time. Like, it's okay. This is not a life sentence where every day you're like being some perfect spiritual being, you know?
Yeah.
But what I love about that story, Marian, is when it got to be enough is enough. And when you tried all the quote easier, softer ways and they were coming up short and you were still going back to the blues, you were like, all right, let's freaking do it. And like, that's the thing I want for everyone. I want them to have the toolkit at their bedside for the day you are allowed to make that choice. Because when I talk about freedom from chronic pain, for me, the definition of freedom is that we have choices. When I look at someone who is not free, right? A woman in an abusive relationship that's terrified to leave, people in a country with an authoritarian government, you know, someone literally in jail. Like, the point of unfreedom is that you don't have a choice. You don't feel as if you have a choice.
That's so true.
And yeah. And so like, what I want to hand people is freedom. But what freedom really is, sadly, and don't worry, I kick and scream internally about this all the time. Freedom is the choice to do some more freaking hard work.
I know. And sometimes you really want to put it off and watch Virgin River. And sometimes you just got to like get in there and do it. And it's always a miracle every time. You know, I feel like I reached a new place, you know, a new place of self-acceptance and, you know, and all that. And now here I am having a lovely January and I feel sort of totally attached, mind, body, and soul. Like, I know who I am again. And sometimes that goes away for a little bit. And that's because life is weird and it's hard. And, you know, our outside circumstances of jobs and money and responsibility and our current culture and our collective trauma and all those things inform our day-to-day lives. And it's always going to be a balancing act, you know? I think too, like, you know, the pain went away for me, but to me, the like next Tetris level of healing was around, you know, if I started in a place of unawareness where I wasn't really connected to my feelings, but I had this pain that was sort of expressing, the next Tetris level was looking at things, accepting facets of my life, accepting facets of who I am, accepting, you know, the good and the bad and, you know, and all in between. And I went through a phase, which I think we were still working together, with tons of anxiety. Mm-hmm. It was like the next Tetris level. Like, okay, yeah, now it's
not
pain.
A lot of people say that. Yeah.
It's anxiety. I still deal with that today, but it's not the same. And most of the reason why it's gotten better is through more positive self-talk. Like, I didn't really understand that, like, you know, the sort of running voice inside our head, if it's one of negativity and shoulding and shaming and constantly not being enough, you can guarantee that the party's not over. It's just going to keep going. Right. And that was like my next phase of healing. And, you know, now I am getting better at, you know, oh my God, that client meeting went terribly. I should. No, you shouldn't. If something bad is going to happen, it's going to, and that's okay. You're still safe. That's a thing that's great. I do a lot now is right as I'm about to go into like vigilant, overdoing it, pretzeling mode, I'm just like, you know what? Let's not pretzel. When I worked with Dr. Strax, we talked about like, let's just get a C. Let's just have a day where you like earn a
C. It's hard.
Yeah. Let's just have a C day. It doesn't have to be a straight A day. It can be a C. And like giving yourself the permission to like, as you have said, wear it loosely, chillax, take a C plus for the day. It doesn't have to be an A is, it's so clutch.
Yeah.
'Cause half of what's going on is just not being very kind to ourselves inside.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of obviously self-compassion work. I talk about it a lot. And I would even actually just gently challenge that notion of the C in just in so much as, no, not because I need an A, even though we all know I need one.
I do too.
Yeah. Don't mess with me, Mary. No, I'm just kidding. No, but what I'm really saying though, for both of us, because we have the same personality and so many of you guys have our personality, which is hold yourself to the highest standard. You're your own worst critic, blah, 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 is like, let's redefine what an A looks like. Like I would rather put it that way. So for example, when you are walking out of the client meeting and you're like, oh, I should have, and you go, no, we're not going to do that. If something bad happens, it's already going to come. We're not going to do that. Maybe that's a fucking A. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, maybe we redefine what the A is.
I love that.
We really, God knows. I mean, what if imperfection is the best possible thing you could do? Because by living that example, you are giving so many other people permission to live that way. And we're doing it for our children and we're doing it for our spouses and the people we love and our friends and our colleagues. Like little tiny things that happen throughout my day, when I choose to pause and either tell the truth or be imperfect, I see the benefits of it. And I'm going to say this because I know my kids never listen to this podcast. Today, last night, my daughter was having a meltdown. We don't have to talk about why. She's 15. But it was 15-year-old girl things that happen that make you have a meltdown. And this morning, I went to wake her up. I never have to wake her up for school, but it just so happens that I had to, and which was very odd. And she just burst into tears when I opened, picked up her covers. And she said, I can't do it today. I cannot do it. Can I have a mental health day? And I was just like, sure, you absolutely can. She's like, I'm behind in my homework because I was too upset to do it last night. I said, totally. Take the mental health day. And even with the mental health day, just the misery and the crying and the 15. And this morning I woke up, I don't know why I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It's actually kind of rare for me, but I was having a little bit of the blues this morning and I decided to tell her. And like, that's something when I was like the old me and maybe like dealing with my now 20-year-old when it was her age, she was her age. I might not have done it. But I just paused, and we both know the power of the pause. You know, pausing also means you're free. And I said to myself, share with her. It was like the most beautiful feeling. And I walked into a room and I said, I want you to know something. I'm in a terrible mood today too. And I cannot shake it. And in the Northeast, it has been gray and gross and freezing and raining for days. I'm sure Chicago has been somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. And it, for some reason, the sun came out today. And I said to her, I'm going out and I don't know what's going to, I'm going to do. I'm going to run. I'm going to walk. I'm just going to be in nature and I'm going to see if I can shake it off. You do your best. I'll do my best. And when I went out there, I decided to run. And I haven't run for a really long time because it's too cold to run. But it was a nicer day today. And I ran 5 miles, truthfully, just to prove to myself that I still can. Because in the summer, it was like running, running, running. And I haven't been doing it. And it wasn't to prove that I can still physically do it. It was to prove that if I say I'm going to do something, that I can trust myself, that I can do it. But the only reason that I'm telling you this is when I got finished with the run, I texted her and I said, I just ran 5 miles to prove to myself that I could still do it. Whatever that means for you, figure it out and do it for yourself today. And maybe it will remind you that things aren't so bad. I said, just a suggestion, because my kids literally roll their eyes so hard when I say anything because they're my children. And you know what she wrote back to me, which probably gave me the biggest smile in the entire world? She wrote back, "You are my favorite person in the world." And like it, from a 15-year-old who's in a mood, I will say, that is such gold. And the reason I'm talking about it here is because it was truly, I know why she loved me extra today. It was because I chose to be imperfect with her. Yeah. And I just feel like I want to redefine an A, because mm-hmm. our kids don't want us to be super people. Our bosses even don't want us to be super people.
Nobody.
They want to feel like they're not screwing it up, right?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I had a reputation of being a bit withdrawn and aloof as a boss and a colleague and things like that. And, you know, I didn't really let people in, and I was more of a perfectionist. And, you know, I'll probably always be a recovering one in many ways. But my world has opened up the more that I let go of like trying to pregame everything that's going to happen all the time. It's futile. It's such a waste of time. You know, I mean, do your best, be your best self, let the chips fall where they do. And like, for me, it's like, I do not control all this stuff. That was all just a ruse, you know?
Yes.
It was all just a ruse. And it was a coping mechanism I developed because of the aforementioned, not ideal situation I grew up in.
Right. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just always trying to like, find ways to relax more and to be okay with that, you know, be okay with relaxing. And it's like,
yes,
everything, it does not have to be Instagram worthy,
right?
Headline worthy, everything worthy, you know, it can just be like life.
Yes. You know? So Marian, as I know, we're going to start rounding out the hour. Is there anything I didn't touch on that you kind of were like, I really should say this to the people?
Oh, well, that makes me stressed out because like, yeah, actually there is. No,
I don't want to stress you. I just want to, just like chat and like miss a big important thing.
I think actually words cannot describe like the amount of impact that this work has had on my life. It's almost indescribable. It really is. And I was thinking about this before we met, like, I wish I could say something to people that was like a zinger that would really help them turn a corner. It's just not like that here. I think it's like the showing up to the page, doing the journal speak, listening to the podcast, having the Curable app, having all this padding around you is the thing. It's not like there is no lightning bolt, you know, there's no one thing that you can say that will get like that person, you know, that has that insane back pain, you know, and you're like, oh, I have so much to tell you. Let me give you this zinger. And all of a sudden you can be on a mind body journey with me. It's never one thing. It's just the intent, you know, and saying like, I'm done with trying all the ways that didn't work. And now I'm really ready to like get in there and, feel your feelings and be on a journey that just brings you closer to yourself and makes you a more open human being. And that's what this has done for me. You know, I do feel like completely, I'm the same exact person and I'm completely transformed. Isn't that weird?
You know, I would say it's weird, but I feel the exact same way. And another thing that I think is really the gift that keeps on giving is, you said you read the Schubner book and you couldn't believe that 7 years ago or however many years ago, like you felt that way. There are things that happen to me all the time where I have a reason usually with a bit of cringe, to read something that I wrote about myself like 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. And I'm like, I can't believe how I'm not like that even a little bit. And one of the things that's actually changed for me quite a bit, and I never thought it was a problem, is that I really couldn't relax without a lot of guilt and shame.
Same.
Like even just laying on the couch to watch TV, which most people would cherish, I felt like almost like awful. Like I just wouldn't do it. I literally wouldn't do it. I had to be productive in order to feel like I was having even a good day. Now, it's not like I've become some lazy, you know, sit, lay on the couch all day. But like if I want to, so the hell what? Like I really will. And it's not a problem. And like that's a, you know, this is your life. Like, you know, what do you want it to look like kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. And I think that's also like when you're not in survival mode anymore, you don't have to be like freaking out that much, you know? And like a lot of us, I would venture to say that most people living in modern times are probably tapping into their survival mode way more than they should be.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like these may feel like the worst of times, but they're also the best of times. And I think you can sort of choose, as we've talked about, to see it differently. And the minute you see it differently, it just is different. And you are on that couch and you're like, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a meditation teacher say this to me recently that I think would be a good way to kind of put a finer point on what you just said. She said to me, the reason we meditate is because you are the storm, but you are also the eye of the storm, where it is totally quiet and totally peaceful and totally centered. And when you meditate, you become more easily able to occupy that center space and let it all go on around you. And it's fine because it has to, both in your own mind and in your family and in your work. Like we can't stop the storm. We're not meant to, and we can't. But you can occupy that center where you can kind of watch it. You can be like, all right, you can replace fear with curiosity. You can watch it. And then you can move through it with ease and flow instead of banging into everything all the time because you're in the storm. And I love that.
So beautiful. And it reminds me, meditation, you got to do it. It's a very important part of this too, which I didn't even touch on, but I'm just going to say that as my final parting word. Meditate.
Yeah. And meditate. No, I don't know about you. I found it incredibly difficult to meditate at first. Did you?
Yes. And I still do. I do guided. I keep it short. That's what I keep coming back when I keep it short. When I try to do longer ones is when I'm like, oh, that's too much. But yeah, I mean, I do think it's a really, really important part because it's like, it seals the deal. It seals the deal. You know what I mean?
It does. And I will say for anyone out there who's like, yeah, I get it with all this meditation BS. It's for other people, not for me. There is no one more frenetic than me. No one. Maybe Marion. She and I can go head to head. Like, and if we can do it, you can do it. Like it's changed me so profoundly. I understand how I can be the eye of the storm and the storm. Totally. And like we want both. I don't want to stop being the storm. I want to take shit by storm. I want to. I mean, like, it's part of my purpose in this world, but I don't want to be banging into the walls. And you don't have to be.
That's right. And meditation, you can sit down for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it can completely shift the energy of what your day is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for shiz.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Marion, I love you.
Oh, I love you more. It's so great to be with you.
It's so, so great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I know.
And I'm just, I will say on a personal note, there's very few people I worked with as long as Marion, and I am just from my heart so happy about the way your life has not just changed, but been created.
Yeah.
It's a great joy for me.
Oh my gosh. Same, same. Love you dearly. And I will never be able to express how grateful I am to you and all of this work. And, you know, if you ever need me to like do some other stunt for you someday for the cause, I'm here for you. I love you.
All right, sister. All right. Well, everyone out there, I hope you have gotten a few nuggets of wisdom from us, even though we're a little sillier today than normal, but you know, old friends. And for everyone out there, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.